a person asked me recently, how do I stay positive during these crazy times, maybe end times, you know, times of war, times of famine, times of intense evil in the world? How do I stay positive? And my honest answer was, is that really the goal? Is it just to be positive? Like, it's kind of like asking, you know, how do I stay happy when everything's, you know, going into war and disaster? And I don't think that just sort of naked happiness should be the goal. Now, I agree that you don't want to be buried by fear or panic, that's for sure. But instead of saying the word positive, I'm going to suggest that we replace it with the word confident. How do I remain confident in the face of what's happening today? Not just like positive, like, yay, everything's great. No, how about that I have the confidence of being able to get through this, which I think is more important than being positive. And being confident requires you to be informed and to be realistic about what we're facing. So when I think about people who just want to be positive, I think about people who lock themselves in a room with, you know, music and candles and balloons and stuffed animals. And like, I'm still positive. And just throwing teddy bears around. It's like, so great. And there's pudding, you know, and birthday cakes and whatever. Okay, great. That doesn't help you in the real world. But when I think about people who are confident, they're people who, you know, might not have a giant smile on their face, but they have a lot of wisdom in their eyes. They're people who know what's going on. They've got a plan. They've got a solid plan. They've got the knowledge, the skills, whatever equipment is necessary. You know, they've got a backup plan for everything. So they are confident to be able to face the world and face what's coming. And that's my goal for you, is to help you achieve confidence so that you are ready for everything. Now, whether that translates into just joy and happiness and positivity, well, I don't know. That's up to each person's individual emotional processing methods. But I do want you to be confident. Now, being confident in facing an unknown future, especially one where perhaps war is imminent, requires several key elements, the first of which is awareness or knowledge. So I call this driving with the headlights on. You don't want to be driving down the highway at night, especially on a curvy, you know, mountainous highway with your headlights off. You're liable to, you know, run off the road, go over the cliff, whatever. So your headlights need to be on, and that means you need to be aware. And this is where some people have a problem. They're like, I don't want to hear anything negative. I just want to keep it all positive. Okay, well, turn your headlights off then when you drive, because, you know, a deer in the road might be a negative event. I mean, I say that satirically. Obviously, don't drive with your headlights off. But that's the way some people want to live their lives day to day. They want to drive with their headlights off. Well, how do you know there's not a boulder in the road, or another vehicle, or a stalled vehicle, or a pedestrian, or a cow, you know? So just saying, well, I don't want to hear anything negative, doesn't work. You need to be aware of what's going on, especially if it's a potentially negative event, like, hey, you know, Israel's about to attack Iran. They might use nuclear weapons, things like that. Russia and Iran have some kind of a mutual defense agreement. Russia has more nuclear weapons than any other country in the world, right? So let's bring in some relevant facts. Iran has very advanced ballistic missiles, probably nuclear warheads. They threaten to retaliate against Israel. So now we're talking about a nuclear exchange. Yeah, these are rational knowledge facts, little knowledge nuggets to be aware of. So instead of turning away, we welcome information, but we don't let that information drive our emotional state. So it needs to be okay to be able to hear that there might be a nuclear war without being consumed by fear. So part of this is having the neurological resilience and maturity to not be driven into crazy states by information. So let's think about information as just information. Here's a bunch of facts, here are some quotes, here are some possibilities. Let's just gather that and become aware of it. Okay, that's step one. Second step is to then analyze and rehearse. Well, I guess those are two different steps, but analyze is let's look for patterns in this information. Let's consider possibilities. Let's see what might be likely to occur. Are there some possibilities that we can eliminate that we know for certain or with high certainty will not happen? So we can scratch those off our list of concerns. Maybe so. Are there things that we think have a high probability of actually happening? If so, let's become aware of those. Let's put those high on our list. So let's analyze the information in terms of probabilities and how it impacts us. For example, if there's a nuclear detonation in Iran and then maybe a retaliation nuclear detonation in Israel, how will that affect you? Well, if you don't live in either of those two countries, you're not going to be hit directly by the nuclear weapon, but you will suffer the economic consequences affecting energy markets, for example. Or you could suffer the results of radiation fallout across the Northern Hemisphere. Or the war might escalate and it might bring in Russia, it might bring in China, it might bring in the United States. Could there be a state of war declared in the United States, etc., right? So think about ramifications. What does this mean? Could this be used to try to stop the election? Could it be used to try to declare martial law? Could it be used to take away liberties and freedoms of the American people? All things that are worth considering. Once you've got that analysis completed, which it doesn't have to be on paper, you don't have to produce a report. It could just be in your head that you look at it, you contemplate it, maybe you take a walk, maybe you think about it, maybe you have a conversation with people that you trust, and then you come up with a conclusion that you think this represents, and you take that to heart. All right, that can be your analysis phase. Then comes rehearsal. So one of the ways that people deal with very difficult things in the world is that they mentally rehearse them beforehand. So if you've actually gone through a mental rehearsal of having to go through a bug out scenario or having a nuclear bomb detonated nearby and having to evacuate or going to war or having to cook all your food on an outdoor stove, etc., or having to defend your property using an AR-15, let's say, against looters or foreign invaders or whatever the case may be, if you have mentally rehearsed that possibility, then it won't be nearly as shocking to your system because you've gone through it in your head, and that begins to imprint those possibilities on your neurology in advance. So have you thought through what it's going to be like growing your own food, for example? Or living without electricity, or not having running water because the water system doesn't work, not having cash, engaging in barter, all these kinds of things, having a supply chain breakdown. Have you gone through this rehearsal in your mind? Because you know what? That costs you nothing. It's free of charge. And your mind is a great simulator, it turns out, because that's what dreams are. So every night that you sleep, your brain creates simulations and problem solving. You do it automatically. Well, you can also do it on purpose. So that's called a mental rehearsal. So go through that for the scenarios that you think you might face. Rehearse it mentally. You'll also find that as you do that, you will encounter possible mistakes or gaps. Like maybe you'll go through a rehearsal and figure out your plan is missing something. Like maybe you're missing a way to start fires, to boil water, or something like that. Or maybe you're missing batteries for your red dot sight on your rifle. Whatever the case may be, you'll find some of that through mental rehearsal. And then the next step is physical rehearsal based on the mental rehearsal. So in this stage, you're going to practice the skills and the procedures that you've identified as being important. This gives you confidence. And remember, I said it's more important to have confidence than just positivity. I'm positive that having confidence is very useful, and it creates a sense of calm, a sense of knowing, to say, hey, if the electricity goes out, I'm confident I can live without electricity. Well, why are you confident? Because you've done it. You've rehearsed it. You've practiced it. turn off the lights for a weekend. I mean, turn off the power grid to your home. You know, do this in a safe way, obviously. And try living a weekend without electricity. Don't do it if you have fish in an aquarium, because they will die without oxygen. But you get my point. You can turn off the power, or you can just live outside in your backyard for a weekend and see how it goes and see what you're missing. Or go camping. It's a start. Or just try to wash your clothes without using a washing machine. Try to wash and dry your clothes. There are many things that you can do here, things that are very valuable. And as you gain those skills, like starting a fire to boil water, you know, preserving food or preparing food, or, you know, firing your AR-15, just going through drills of deploying your 9mm handgun, if that's what you have, or your AR, or whatever the case may be, it's important to practice the physical skills. So at this point, you've got analysis and information. You've got some conclusions about what might happen, various risks of what might occur. You've gone through mental rehearsal, and you've gone through physical rehearsal, which will require you to acquire the gear or the physical items that are necessary for you to go through that rehearsal. So in this process, you will, of course, gather the things that are missing, like, oh, I need more paracord. Yeah, what about the paracord? I need more magnesium fire starters. Oh, I need more ammo. I need batteries. I need this and that. I need a bug out bag. I need a better flashlight. I need a solar charger. I need a solar generator. I need a satellite phone, whatever. You're going to identify a bunch of gear, and then you're going to acquire that gear. Now, at this point, which frankly, this shouldn't take a great deal of time, you could cover a lot of skills in 3 days. Not everything, obviously, but a lot. You know, first aid skills, you know, tourniquets, firearms handling, food preservation. You could cover a lot in 3 days, believe it or not, if you dedicate yourself to it. But doing this, then, you will be able to face what's coming with a much greater sense of confidence, while your neighbor, who was just focused on being positive, just sat in a room for 3 days and meditated with candles and teddy bears, and has a big smile on their face, but they're clueless when it comes to knowing what to do when difficult times come. So, I would much rather be confident than positive. So then this process just goes in layers or cycles. So let's say that you spent a weekend going through this process to learn how to do these things, and that went well. Now you know what to do, and nothing bad happens. World War III doesn't begin. You know, we get a reprieve, maybe from God. Maybe the lunatics in charge of our countries don't press the trigger button on launching nukes. Who knows? Maybe we just get lucky. So a few weekends later, you got another free weekend. So what do? You do the same drill, but now you add more skills, more layers, more rehearsals. So now, I don't know, you're using sutures to stitch up a simulated skin cut on a piece of chicken that you bought at the grocery store. You can practice on a piece of chicken, you know, fresh chicken meat. Or maybe you're going camping for the first time in a long time. Maybe you're learning about emergency medicine, iodine, or something that you did not cover before. There are all kinds of things that you can do. Maybe you're upping your firearm skills. You're practicing offhand shooting, for example. There are all kinds of things that you can do to add another layer to your preparedness. There's always more skills you can have. Maybe you acquire a really high-end knife and you learn about knife skills and how to sharpen knives properly. That's always useful, you know, knowing how to use a blade, right? One of those weekends, you should learn more about comms. Get yourself a little $25 Baofeng radio. Learn how to do basic programming on that. Learn how to use AB comms channels and set up the channels and change the channels. Those kinds of just simple things, just using local radios. That can save your life under the right circumstances. Anyway, you get the idea. So over time, your skill set expands, and so your confidence expands. And as the future arrives and you find out that it's crazier and crazier because, you know, the people running our countries are absolute satanic lunatics, you will begin to find that you're hard to kill. That, yes, they can kill a lot of people in a lot of different ways. They can kill even billions of people on this planet, and they plan to, and they will. They will probably kill billions of people. But they're going to have a hard time killing you because you are hard to kill. Being hard to kill is a very good trait, especially given that most of the other people around us are kind of pretty easy for the warmongers to kill. And who's the easiest for the globalists to kill? The people that focused on staying positive instead of learning to be confident. That's who's easiest to kill. The globalists can kill off people who don't know anything, who are afraid of everything, who don't have any skills, don't have any preparedness equipment, who are not growing their own food, who don't know how to grow antibiotics, who don't have backup money systems like gold and silver. Those people are easy for the globalists to kill. You can stay positive all the way to the day that they kill you, and then it turns kind of really negative very quickly. Or you can focus on being confident and being hard to kill. And then, in the end, you can smile. You can be positive. Like, I'm positive. They didn't kill me, even though, you know, 2 billion people are dead on this planet. They didn't kill me because we were hard to kill. Now, one more important thought in all of this, being hard to kill does not necessarily make you the most popular person in your family, in a group of friends, I don't know, in your neighborhood, in your company, whatever. Wherever you interact with people, being hard to kill and being informed and being confident doesn't necessarily make you the most, you know, joyful person to be around. You probably know a lot of things that a lot of other people don't know, and some of those things are not nice things about what's happening in the world. Well, as I say, you know, ignorance is bliss. So for those people who want to be happy, they want to stay ignorant. It's like, don't tell me about anything, I just want to stay ignorant. Okay, fine. But for those who want to be hard to kill, you're going to know some things. Those are not going to be happy things. You're going to know about the depopulation agenda, about the bioweapons and the vaccines and the jabs, about the satanic takeover of the world, and how the Satanists who run entire nations, especially Western nations, like the USA and Israel and Canada, you know, the UK, etc., they're all Satanists, how they just want to slaughter human beings and choke off human populations and cause infertility and mass death and extinction and so on. Like, these are not happy thoughts, but they're real. And you'll find that the more you know, the more difficult it may be to be around sort of everyday regular people who just want to stay positive all the time. Everything's great. So be prepared for that psychologically. You're not going to win, you know, happiness awards by being informed. But you will win the game of survival, while those who are focused on being positive will win the Darwin Award for dying stupidly for not being prepared. For example, we found this out after the hurricanes hit recently Florida and the Carolinas. We found out that there's a lot of people that don't have water filters. They don't have a water filter, not even one. I went on Amazon just to check. You can buy a water filter, a small one, that doesn't do a lot, but it'll handle some amount of water for like $30, okay? A little handheld pump, or like $40 for the slightly better one. And yeah, it might only do 150 gallons of water, but that's something. And if you invest more like $100, you could get a filter that does a lot more. But people don't have water filters, which I find extraordinary. People don't have stored food. People don't have self-defense weapons. And this tells me that they are not, of course, rehearsing for what's coming. So they're not just trying to be positive. They're just ignorant. They're just not even informed, not aware. They might be really popular in social circles because it's easy to be joyful and carefree because ignorance is bliss. But when hard times come, they're not ready at all. And what do we find in North Carolina? And I'm not blaming the victims here, by the way. Some people were just outright, their homes were just washed away while they were sleeping. It's not their fault. Some people who were prepared got their homes washed away and all their stuff was washed away. So don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming the victims. But I am saying that many people there who suffered far more than they had to, well, they suffered because they were not prepared, because they had never imagined being cut off from water sources and electricity and cell towers and food and grocery stores and gasoline stations. They had never imagined those scenarios. And so, of course, they were not ready when that happened. So ask yourself, are you ready to live without electricity? Are you ready to live without a municipal water supply that functions? Are you ready to live without gas stations functioning? Are you ready to live without cell towers, etc.? All those things. You ready to live without a food supply? Are you ready to live indoors if you have to because of nuclear radiation fallout? These are serious questions of our time. And I've got a lot of free guides for you, of course. You may have heard of some of these. I've got free downloadable audiobooks that can help you. I think the best one right now is resilientprepping.com. Go to Resilient Prepping. You can find it there. You can download it. Or go to survivalnutrition.com. I also have the Global Reset Survival Guide. That's at globalreset.news, by the way. Or you can find all these at the top of naturalnews.com. The very top link, it says audiobooks. Click there. It shows you all the audiobooks that you can download. And they're all free. But resilientprepping.com is probably the best one. Helps you get squared away. And it helps you run through mentally all these rehearsals that we're talking about here, so that you aren't surprised by what comes. And the bottom line here, instead of focusing on being positive, focus on being confident, being ready. And that's something that you have control over. You may not have control over nuclear terrorism or nuclear war. We don't have that control. But you can control your readiness for it. You can control your mental skills. You can control your bug out bag. You know, you can control a lot of things that can prepare you for when these events occur. So instead of focusing on the things that you cannot control, and just shutting them out and locking yourself in a room, let's be positive. What you should do instead is go through the mental rehearsals, get informed, stay informed. I try to keep you informed on my podcast here in every way possible and on my social media accounts as well. Go through the mental rehearsals, get the equipment and the skills that you need to be prepared, and then live your life with confidence that you can handle what comes your way because you're resilient at that point. You're more decentralized, you're more informed, you've got skills, and you're psychologically ready for whatever's going to come. You can follow me on Telegram at Real Health Ranger. You can follow me on brightown.io at Health Ranger. You can follow me on X, Health Ranger is the account name there. You can follow me on brightown.social, or you can read my articles at naturalnews.com. Or you can follow my podcasts at brightown.com. I will do my best to keep you informed. I've got a lot of sources developed over 20 plus years. Many people in the military, former military, special forces, some active operators who, to the extent that they can, without compromising operational security, they keep me informed. And I will pass that along to you when it is approved and safe for me to do so. So I will keep you informed as best I can. So thank you for all your support. Stay informed, and you can face the future with a great sense of confidence. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger. Take care. Here's what we've got at healthrangerstore.com. New items that might interest you. We've got coconut chips in stock right now. I've got some on my desk here. And spagyric lion's mane mushroom extract as well, which is just an extraordinary functional mushroom. It's my favorite mushroom. I use it myself. I use it to help myself naturally heal. And I think that you will love that product and what it can do for you. We've also got a vegan Softgel Omega-3 supplement available now. Most omega-3s come from fish oil, but this product is vegan, no fish involved in the supply chain. I think you will really enjoy it, but it gives you all those amazing omega-3s that support your natural health. In addition, if you go to healthrangerstore.com, you'll see some of the amazing products that we have in stock right now. Everything is laboratory tested. Almost everything is certified organic. And because of your support, we are able to donate food supplies to people in need. We have raised, as you may know, $558,000 in food donations for the storm victims of North Carolina and Florida. And we have trucked out now about half of that donation on a total of, I think, 24 pallets stacked with our Ranger buckets, mega buckets, and other storable foods that is now being distributed to people in North Carolina. And so we've got about another almost 300,000 or 280,000, whatever it is, that is staged for future donations. And we're working to try to coordinate some of that for people in need in Florida right now. Bottom line is, you help yourself when you shop at healthrangerstore.com. You help yourself with outstanding nutrition and clean foods. And you also help us help others through food donations to people in need. So check out all the amazing products. We've got discounts. We've got loyalty programs at healthrangerstore.com. You earn loyalty points on every single sale, every purchase. Look at these categories: supplements and preparedness. I think we have the most ruggedly packed, storable survival food, certified organic, that's perfect for feeding yourself after storms or when there's a supply chain breakdown or any kind of emergency. We've got that. Personal care products, toothpaste, body soap. We've got laundry detergent, all of them without any artificial fragrance chemicals whatsoever, because we don't use that stuff. We don't touch that stuff. We've got home products, food and beverage, and so much more. You can find it all at healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. God bless you. Take care.